Okay, guys, let's grab seats. We won't get out of here at midnight this pace. All right, a couple of things. Next week is sharing day. Who knows what sharing day is?
Pizza.
Pizza and open mic. So you guys come in, normal time 7:30, but you come in the community room C. There'll be nobody in the small group rooms. No homework required. Only thing we ask for homework is that you write down some things about what CBS meant to you this year. Something happened into your life, something significant that you can share with the guys to encourage them. This is a good night for you guys to bring friends. Every year we have people who start that can't spell the name Jesus Christ and become true disciples. I mean, there's people in here. Encourage those people that you know about in your small groups to show up. Other than that, is this everybody tonight? There must be a lot of kids' soccer games on or something, Jerry.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of kids' soccer games. It's over to you, brother.
Okay, great.
We love you.
Hey, Ben, how you doing? You must have gone to work today. Good. Yeah, let's have a little prayer, and we'll do our last lesson of the year. And this has got to be around 300 for me, 10 years. So I've certainly learned a lot. You just going to rove around tonight, or what are you doing? Okay. Here comes the loser group, head coach at Fairfax High School. You need to hang out with godly people, I tell you. Hey, David. It might rain Saturday, but so we'll just figure it out. You still available? Okay. All right, well, let's have a prayer while the rest of the losers come in. Hey, Doc, how you doing? Don't be smiling at me. Sit your butt down in a chair somewhere and say you're sorry. Look at these guys. All right, we're going to pray. Lord, as always, I pray we'd have a Pentecostal gift of hearing. And, you know, one of the judgments is when people lose their sense of right and wrong. And when people lose their fear of the Lord, they lose their sense of right and wrong. And so help us to understand what's right and not be afraid to stand up for it. There's an edge to standing up for the truth. Christ said, woe to you when all men think well of you. And so we're not only known by who our friends are, but we're actually known also by who our enemies are. So, Lord, give us discernment. May we fear you in a healthy way. In Christ's name, amen. You know, when people speak boldly throughout the scripture, when people are brave, in the Old and New Testament, there's a common thread that runs through it. You know what it is? It's the Holy Spirit. It says it in different language, but it says basically the same thing. And the Spirit came upon them, for example, in the book of Acts, and they spoke boldly or bravely. If you feel sometimes you lack courage or you'd like to feel, I'd like to be a little braver in my faith, you know, we all flag from time to time. I would just coach you up and tell you, pray to the Lord. You know, technically, if you have Christ, you have the Spirit of Christ in your heart. But you can pray to the Lord. Could you give me a greater portion, a greater measure of your Spirit? Could your Spirit come upon me, whatever that portion of it is that makes people brave and speak with boldness? People think that I'm bomb-proof. I don't have a lot of fears, but I mean, you know, I got to confess to you from time to time, I have to re-reach myself for Christ and make sure I fear God more than I fear people. If you fear God, you won't have a fear of people. If you depend on God for what you need, you won't fear people. As long as you depend on people and not God, you will fear them because you want something from them. So you know my rule, if you want to have influence and power with people, don't want anything they have. You won't fear them. You'll be free to just be their friend without asking anything in return. Now, tonight, this is our last little book The happiest parts of this book are the opening and the ending. And in the middle, the wheels fly off. Now, even great scholars don't understand some of the things Jude is talking about in a few verses here, so I won't attempt it if the PhDs aren't sure. I have a rule. I can't build my life on what I don't know, but I can build my life on what I do know, so I stick with what I know. So I'll give you another free coaching tip tonight. Play to your strengths. Don't let politically correct people try to tell you spend your lifetime playing to your weaknesses. Here's why. If you play to your weaknesses and you nail it, if you play to your weakness and you just kill it, guess what? You have a great chance of maybe being average. Isn't that great? If you play to your strengths, the gifts and the abilities God gave you, and we all have different gifts, it's amazing how many numbers, and we're going to study it next year. We're going to study 1 and 2 Corinthians, so we're going to go through the gifts of the Spirit next year. You find out what your gifts is. I used to teach a course to help guys understand what their gift is so they could work on it and sharpen it up. You have a chance to be outstanding. You have a chance to be excellent if you play to your strengths. Now, Jude introduces himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. He could have said he was the brother of Jesus because the number of Jesus' siblings are listed 3 times that I know of in the Gospels. They're listed. It's right there. But he doesn't. In John chapter 6 or 7, it says plainly at that point, his own family, his own brothers, did not believe in him. Now, obviously, count Mary out of that. She absolutely knew who he was, and we all know the reason for that. But they didn't believe till after the resurrection. They doubted the whole way. And so he views Jesus Christ now not so as his earthly brother, but as his Savior, Master. He's a bondservant. A bondservant is someone who serves because they want to. The word amateur is a French word that I love. You know why? It means one who loves. Amateur golfers, amateur sports people, anybody that has a hobby and they're amateurs, but they're great, they're world class, they do it for free. They do it because they love it. So the army of Christ is all volunteer and we're all amateurs. Professional Christian just sounds suspect from the get-go, doesn't it? We serve Christ because we love him. Now, Holly and I have a nonprofit, and people make donations, and that's how we get paid. But what's your best guess? On the months we don't get paid, you think we keep teaching Christ and talking Christ up, putting Christ on the scoreboard? Yeah, and we've had months like that. So I don't serve Christ because I get paid. I serve Christ because he called me, and he's called you. Now, servant of Christ. You know, Bob Dylan, I loved it in his Christian. He had a song, You May Be the Ambassador to France. You might like to gamble. You might like to dance. You might be a socialite with a long string of pearls. Remember that song? Everybody's got to serve somebody. And that's true. Do you realize all of us serve something or somebody? Why not serve Christ? So the command here is the title of our lesson tonight, Contend for the Faith. And I want you to know that's all of us, not just the hired guns. We do live in an age where we're so affluent, people try to hire ministers. I call them hired guns, and they'll lead all the teenagers to Christ, and they'll defend Christ in our community. No, this is every one of us are called to contend for the faith. That's why I say the army of Jesus Christ is a volunteer army. We're like the French Resistance in World War II. We do it because we love our Savior, and we love his people. Now, false teachers, he says, they sneak in. Now, there are some false religions out there that are pretty in your face, and they're not that fakey. You know, they're pretty obvious. What really trips true believers up, and Christ said this, but for some reason we're asleep at the switch on it half the time. He said, Jesus said this, false prophets will arise from among you. What does that mean? They come out of the church. They parade around as Christian ministers. You remember what else Christ said? He said, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. And so this is repeated and repeated and repeated. Have you been impressed how much of the New Testament, the epistles, are defending the truth against? Here's why. For every real thing there is in the cosmos, there's a counterfeit. God's truth is real. Everything Satan doeth, it's a lie and it's a counterfeit. There's a counterfeit for every true thing out there. So if you believe there's a lot of truth out there, you have to understand there's tons of false teaching out there. And God gets really angry against false teachers. I'm going to read you a few verses. Now, there was a moment here where it said that, I just wanted to point this out because sometimes there can be some confusion on this, that even one of the archangels dealing with Satan over this argument over the body of Moses, it said he didn't personally rebuke Satan, who scholars tell us was equal with Michael and Gabriel. He was an archangel before he fell. Some scholars think he was the number one archangel, if something like that's possible. He said, "The Lord rebuke you." Now, there is a principle there. The Lord says in the scripture, vengeance is his. He says, vengeance is mine. If you ever encounter any demonic entities or you feel like you are going against evil, I bet most men ask, have you ever been around anybody and you wondered if they just didn't have evil in them? And most guys go, you know, believe it or not, I have. I'm afraid to mention it because somebody think I'm a nut. You say the Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no power against any of that. I've told you, I've come up against this stuff twice. I was trained by Presbyterians, and a lot of them told me that all that stuff ended with the apostolic age. Well, it didn't to me when it was in the room with me in Moscow, and I'm looking at it, and it's talking to me. And so, but I had enough training. I said to this entity, I've told most of you this before, we weren't eating pepperoni pizza or drinking vodka with Russians or anything like that. One of the guys was UVA Law School, the other was MBA from Harvard, so I didn't have a bunch of superstitious people from a little snake handling church in Louisiana with me either. These were thinking people. They all saw it. It was all real. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, that's the trump card. Jesus is the creator of the world, the creator of the universe. And we rebuked this entity, and it was gone. And so that's what that's about, the Lord rebuke you. That's the trump card. One of the things about false teachers, it's very common, they reject all authority. Every time we see these runaway preachers, you know, and the other sign is that they're greedy. It says have I got it in the lineup? It says that, yeah, on down the line, they flatter people for gain. Flattery is, it's the truth wrapped in a lie. It's kind of a true statement, but they don't mean it, but they'll morph and tell you anything you want to hear to flatter you. A lot of the best false teachers are silver tongues. They make you feel good. They tell you what you want to hear. There's a scripture that says, in the last day, people will not endure sound doctrine, but they will acquire for themselves teachers that will tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear. And they make you feel good. Now, they're not under any authority. You know, generally when they go down, you go, well, who are the people in their lives speaking truth to them? And there's basically nobody. Nobody says anything to them. They're their own authority. There's an interesting little phrase you could have missed. You can pick it up in verse 12. It says, they're without fruit, they're twice dead. Anybody know what that means, twice dead? That's a reference to the second death. The first death is when our body stops. What's the second death? This is the one you really don't, you want to avoid. That's spiritual death. That's judgment. That's where we're cast into that reserve. That domain reserved for the devil and his minions. They're twice dead. So it's like they're walking zombies, basically, but they're charming. You know, Satan is a charmer. I think the book of James says, you believe in one God, you do well. Demons believe in God, but they shudder. He said, Satan can appear as an angel of light. Now, in all the artwork, what do they make the devil look like? He's hideous. But when he's on the job, he's very attractive. Sin's attractive. I mean, if it wasn't, why is everybody doing it? But for a season, the Bible says. So they flatter people for gain, and they mock. Now, this is interesting. If you try to confront somebody and you have discerned they're a false teacher or a false prophet, they will not take you on the issues. I actually have a degree in debate, and there are two rules to debate, and two rules only. The first rule to debate is to find a flaw in your opponent's case and you exploit it. Divide and conquer. And you prove them to be contradictory, which should eliminate their credibility. When you can't do that, guess what rule number two is? You mock them. And if you can do it with humor, it works. A lot of times, false prophets will mock, but they power up with intimidation, threats. Now, you have to understand they have no power over you. No one has any power over you unless you give it to them. And we tend to do that. We tend to give people. If you're a people pleaser, you give everybody power over you. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Now, there's friendly mocking. I mean, President Reagan even did it. You remember he used to debate, who was he running against, Mondale? Or? And in the debates, the other guy would say something, and President Reagan, everybody liked President Reagan, but he, when he didn't have the answer, he'd go, well, there you go again. You know, nobody even knew what that meant. Everybody laughed and go, that guy's an idiot. But if you read the manuscript where the humor wasn't there, and you go, he never really addressed what the guy tried to say, but he crushed these guys. He was a master at it. Now, these guys, they don't take you on because the last thing they want to talk about is what? The truth. Now, let's take a little test drive. The teaching portion's pretty short because I want to go over our benediction. I'm going to show you a guy named Joel Osteen. Now, if you go on the internet, there are ministries and scholars all over that said this guy's not for real. Why do they say that? Let's just watch a little clip here on Fox News Sunday. He's being interviewed by Chris Wallace. Listen to this and you tell me. Now, notice I haven't said one thing good or bad about this guy. This is audience participation here. I'm turning into a game show host here in a minute. Let's watch this clip, and then I want to get your response to it. And I'd love to know who you think has a firmer grasp on theology out of these two men.
And what about Mitt Romney? And I got to ask you the question, because it is a question, whether it should be or not in this campaign, is a Mormon a true Christian?
Well, in my mind, they are. Mitt Romney has said that he believes in Christ as his Savior, and that's what I believe. So, you know, I'm not the one to judge the little details of it. So I believe they are. And so, you know, Mitt Romney seems like a man of character and integrity to me. And I don't think anything would stop me from voting for him if that's what I felt like.
So, for instance, when people start talking about Joseph Smith, the founder of the church, and the golden tablets in upstate New York, and God assumes the shape of a man, do you not get hung up in those theological issues?
I probably don't get hung up in them because I haven't really studied them or thought about them. And, you know, I just try to let God be the judge of that. I mean, I don't know. I certainly can't say that I agree with everything that I've heard about it, but from what I've heard from Mitt, when he says that Christ is his Savior, to me, that's a common bond.
That's a quote from the Book of Mormon. He claims to be a prophet of God. By the way, I've read the Book of Mormon. Joseph
Smith. I haven't really studied him or thought about him.
God's not eternal. He was once just a normal man. Jesus is not eternal, was not born of a virgin.
Is a Mormon a true Christian?
Well, in my mind, they are.
All right, let's stop it right there. If anybody preach another gospel, let him be accursed. Now, that's a hard teaching, but if the gospel is true and God's Son sacrificed everything, we know the physical passion was horrendous. Can you even imagine the spiritual pain he went through those 3 days until he was resurrected from the dead? How serious do you think God takes that to give up his only begotten Son? Pretty serious? So what do you think of this interview? Who seems like they'd make the better minister in your eyes, Chris Wallace or the other guy? Neither. Now, this man has 40,000 people that go to his church. In 2014, his net worth is estimated at $50 million. The most recent book he wrote does not mention one scripture. It does not mention Jesus Christ. Would you call that a man of God, man of God's word, or would you call him a false teacher? Now people, Yeah. Now, a lot of people refrain from that because they like him. He makes you feel good. But listen to what Jeremiah, who was pretty close to the Lord, has to say about false teachers. The Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them. He commanded them, nor spoke. I have not sent them. I have not commanded them. I didn't speak to them. They prophesied to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. That's in Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah 23, don't listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They speak a vision of their own heart. They're just making it up as they go along. Not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say no evil shall come upon you. Now, they turn the grace of God into licentiousness. We don't know exactly the heresy. Jude didn't mention it, but the typical pattern was they turned the grace of God into a license to sin. Just do whatever you want because no harm will come to you. They have also said, heal the hurt of my people, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. They were not ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Now, men, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited in any way about Joel, but I prayed for him last night when I went to bed that he would repent and come to the gospel as it's shared in the Bible. I don't know if he can because he's a pathological people pleaser, and that's his cocaine, people cheering for him. But I do pray that he would repent. I'll tell you why. He said Mormons are Christians. Do you know Joseph Smith said that he will sit in judgment over all of mankind? Do you believe Joseph Smith's God? Then I'm here to tell you, Mormons are not Christians as laid out in the Bible. Now, if that offends you, I don't really mean to offend you, but I really don't even care. Because I don't fear anybody here that much. I fear God a lot. I'm not a mean person. I'm kind of funny and fun to be with. But I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord. Read this benediction. And it's hard to be confused. Now to he who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Joy comes from a grateful heart. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise. There's only one Savior, boys. It's Jesus Christ. Be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. I want to close. I booted something up I wanted to play to you. This is a guy that Mark and I support. He's not a false prophet, but he doesn't have 40,000 people. This guy goes down to the mall. He's a street preacher. And he stands up there and he preaches the truth of God right out of the Bible. How old is Jorge? 30. I support him financially. Mark introduced me to him. I meet with him and mentor him. He's out of a Mexican drug gang. And he calls me once a month. He can't sing a lick. And with this Mexican accent, he sings me a hymn. Pastor Leachman, there is power in the blood. There is, says a prayer for me. I love the guy. Now, this is what he called in on Monday. Did you get this one?
I get one every 2 weeks.
Yeah. This is a real prophet, but he's not famous and he doesn't have $50 million. He's living by the skin of his teeth. Never saw a more joyful guy in your life. Let me tell you, if God wants to send her a Bible, he didn't need tricks and gimmicks and feel-good snake oil alligator. I call them alligator shoe salesmen. This is a two-minute message. I just want you to listen to the spirit of this young man.
Just wanted to give you a quick call to share a story with you. I was preaching outside of the Lincoln Memorial the other day, and a group of teenagers gathered to listen to the preaching. They were from Canada, Montreal, and among those kids, there was a Jewish kid, and several made a profession of faith, including that Jewish kid, and after the preaching, we took a picture together. And this kid posted the picture on his Facebook page, and he tagged me on it. And on the post with the picture, he posted, "The flames of hell are eternal. So turn from your sins, boys and girls." So all these people replied, and I guess they thought he was joking. And but at the end, he replied to all of them, "There is no joke here. I have been born again." So my brother, it is exciting. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is exciting to see what the Lord is doing out there on the streets. And I just wanted to share that story with you. And I tell you what, my brother, you know, when you get to heaven and you get this huge bucket of crowns, they're going to say to you, "Remember that loud, crazy Mexican preacher you were supporting?" And they're going to say to you, "Those crowns come from there." So, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, my brother. Thank you, brother, for your prayers. Thank you, brother, for your financial support. It is because thank you for being for part of the team, my brother. So, thank you again for your prayers and financial support, my brother. God bless you, and I hope to see you soon. Bye.
Now, that guy and Mark go out to the DMV, and he preaches while the people are in line before they open the doors because they know they're not going to leave. And he gives them coffee, and he preaches. Sometimes they even clap for him, don't they? Yeah. Now, he has gone out to the gay and lesbian festival on the mall. He stands up and he preaches. He's been stabbed with a stick by people, and, you know, I'm gonna go out with him sometime and just be his bodyguard. But this guy's not ashamed of Christ, so every now and then, he mostly gets mocked, and every now and then somebody comes to Christ, but it's real. Now, I send my money to this kid. Now, I played that for Holly, and she just informed me in the kitchen yesterday, when our tax return comes back, we're going to send it all to Jorge and go, "I'm in." Listen, I want you to know what he's called in heaven. He's a fool. Can anybody finish this phrase? He's a fool for Christ. You know who else said that? Paul. Now, my mentor used to tell us, the guy that discipled us when we were in Alabama, he said, "Well, boys, everybody's some fool. Whose fool are you?" I'm a fool for Christ. If you want to grow spiritually, you don't even have to study anymore tonight. Just do what I'm about to tell you before we close with a prayer. Stop being ashamed of Christ. Be proud of your Savior. He's proud of you. Hung up there naked for you. Nobody can do anything for you. He did everything for you. Just stop being ashamed. Just be a fool for Christ. This kid's nutty, but he's like, fires me up. I rebuked him, though, the other day. I said, "Now, don't you think you're braver and you're self-righteous more than we are?" You know, he said, "I'm glad." Then he even goes, "I'm glad I have you in my life to rebuke me, brother." I go, "Oh, stop it. You're too good. You're too perfect." Okay, I want the last prayer of the night. Now, by the way, if you want to support this kid with us, does he even have all his support raised? Do you know?
He does not yet. He's getting closer, but he does not.
You ask, my email address is jerryleachman@verizon.net. Hopefully next year we're gonna have a website up for Leachman Ministries, but I don't want to tell you that if it's not up. But you can email me at Jerry. What's my email? JerryLeachman@verizon.net. What's your email?
Mark M. Gottlieb.
Oh, you ain't got a shot at that, Gottlieb, huh?
Or just go to dcforjesus.org.
DC for Jesus. Will that tell you? Are you on board with this kid? Yeah, if anybody wants to help this kid, and if you want to go out sometime and just hang out and be his bodyguard with us, let us know. You can do that too. Okay, you're my prayer. Come on, Mark. I love hearing you pray, my brother.
Let's take a moment to go to the Lord here. Dear Lord Jesus, wow, thank you for the great year we had, Lord. Just another year to hear your words, to read them, to study them, precept on precept, as is often said in the Bible, Lord, word upon word. So, Lord, thank you so much that your words are living, they're words that are relevant to our life, Lord, and they're words that we can hang our hats on, our lives on, our reputation on, Lord, and we can be bold for you based on these words, Lord. So, Lord, thank you so much that Jerry's been bold to us this year, Lord, shared the word from his heart, and actually shared with us how to use that in our day-to-day lives so that we can be real Christ followers, Lord. I thank you for the example Jerry has set for us. Lord, I ask you to give us a good summer this summer as we come up to the summer here, Lord, that we would stay in your word daily, Lord, be in your word, be seeking you. Because those who seek you will find you, and they seek you with all of your heart, Lord. So we love you dearly. We thank you again for your word. Thank you for Jerry. We look forward to next week. May we all come back and enjoy pizza next week, Lord. And may you be given all the glory for this class. And may we be continually in your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, will y'all do me a favor? We're building a website. Can we take your camera? Hey, will you guys come up here and get a team picture with me? You go out there. No, just have them come up here. You can go out there.
Okay. We could do it up here, Jerry. That way we could get three levels and get everybody tight.
Okay. Go back there. Okay. This is too crowded. I'll come over there.